night for that song. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 5 here. And I'll explain this, and then we'll get into it tonight and for the next several Wednesday nights when I'll be in the pulpit, which I think is every week. Now, we have a missionary coming next Wednesday, and that's the Wednesday night before Yard Mart. So depending on how much has to be done at the last minute next week. We don't have college next week. That's a blessing. They're on spring break. So I don't have to go to Elgin on Thursday. This is the first time in several years that I'll be here for the opening bell of Yard Mart. Amen. And the opening chaos. And depending on how rushed it is at the end, I may have Brother Rick Blaylock is coming. He is the son of my good friend from Bible College, Jim Blaylock. You've heard me speak of him often. And he and his wife are going to Peru. And I probably would just let Brother Rick preach just because he's Jim's boy. Amen. So he's doing this next week. And he had Ben down there. Ben preached a couple times. It's just kind of fun. So, but when I'm in the pulpit on Wednesday night, I'm going to be on this for a few weeks here, as long as it takes me to get through it, which won't be over 4 or 5 weeks. Now, look here what Paul wrote. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now, that's my text verse there. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Okay? And he says at the end there, I'm persuaded that it's in you also. Several years ago, I was in a meeting, I think it was at Elgin. Brother Tom McGrath was preaching. At that time, he was the pastor of a church down in Missouri. And I believe he was a leg amputated or something. Had some kind of problem. Walked with a cane or a crutch or something. But he brought a message, and during the message up there in Elgin, he was talking about salvation. He was talking about having real salvation, and he asked this question. He was preaching to folks who grew up in church. He said, "Do you have the answers, or do you have the evidence?" And boy, when he asked that question, that rung a bell in my heart. That's a great question right there. Because our children are programmed to have all the right answers from the time that they start to learn. Is there anything wrong with that? No, there's not. There's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. But they need more than the answers. They need to have real salvation. And they need to have the evidence of it. And I took that little question and I went to the Bible and I said, "Lord, help me to put something together on the evidence." And I thought about this passage. God brought this passage to my mind. How that Timothy had unfeigned faith, real faith. So I'm going to talk to you on biblical evidence of salvation. I've given this before, but I'm going to go into more detail these next 4 weeks or 5 weeks than I have in the past. So I'll speak on that. Matt, while I'm praying, and Tony, while I'm praying, y'all zip those down, okay, those microphones there, all right? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Speak to our hearts tonight in a special way. Lord, if there's anybody here struggling with their salvation, I pray that you'll minister to the heart. Lord, thank you so much that your book has the answers. Help us to have faith in it, to believe it. And Lord, help us now to do justice to the Scriptures tonight. And to do that, we have to have your Spirit's power and help. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. Paul is writing to his son in the faith, young Timothy, who's now a pastor. In verse 2, Paul greets Timothy. In verse 3, Paul says, "Timothy, I pray for you." In verse 4, Paul says, "I want to see you. I long to see you." And then he gets down to verse number 5. And Paul says, "Timothy, I am persuaded that you possess unfeigned faith." Now, the word there is unfeigned. That's the key word in this verse, unfeigned. Now, the word unfeigned, the root word of unfeigned is the word feign, F-E-I-G-N. We don't hear that word a lot anymore. We don't use that, not a common word, but it was back in Bible days and even since then, feign. The word means to speak or act under a false part. To speak or act under a false part. Now, people feign when they play a part in a program. The elementary school's doing a play for later on this school year, I guess. And they've been handing out parts to some of the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. And they're going to play a part in a Patch the Pirate play here toward the end of the year. Those boys and girls will feign. They will pretend to be the person or the character they've been given to portray in the program, in the play. Like an actor acting a part in a play. They are pretending to be whatever or whoever that part is in that particular play or program. That's what feign means. To feign, okay? To act or speak or act under a false part. Now, when you add the little prefix un, un, you know what that means. That little prefix means not. Okay? Not. Okay? So what he says here, Timothy, I am persuaded that you are not acting like you have faith. You are not pretending. You're not acting like an actor in a play. I am persuaded that what you have is real faith. And the faith he's speaking about here is saving faith. So Timothy had unfeigned or not feigned faith. He had real salvation, not pretended salvation. He wasn't playing a part. Now, friend, there's nothing wrong with playing a part in a play or being an actor in a program. Nothing wrong with that at all. But when it comes to your salvation, you better not be playing a part. Okay? That's crazy. You don't need to do that. Okay? So don't make that mistake. Now, we believe that Timothy was saved as a child. As a child. He had a saved grandmother. He had a saved mother. As far as we know, his dad was unsaved. But Timothy had real faith, and we believe he had it from a child. Now, what does that tell me? And we'll say more about this later on. It is possible for children to be saved and know it. It's possible. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. It is also possible for a child or anyone else to pray a prayer and not be born again. Not be sincere. Now, how do you know? I had there was a lot of homeschool families here last night, and this is not my opinion. And for you folks at homeschool, I've said this before. You need to know this. According to S.M. Davis, he is the guy that speaks in all these huge conventions, 6,000 to 8,000. He told me personally, face to face, in his presence, that Reformed and Covenant theology are rampant in the homeschool ranks right now. Reformed and Covenant theology. And y'all need to know that. You need to be aware of that. Okay, he was at a conference where he pulled out as the guest speaker because they were going to preach and teach on covenant theology, which basically is that if mom and dad are saved, your children are okay because mom and dad are saved. And that they'll eventually come to Christ. You don't have to worry about it. Now, he confronted him and he said, if y'all are going to preach that in the next session, I'm out of here. They didn't change it. He left the conference. And I appreciate that. Amen. I appreciate that. That's not a Baptist doctrine. That's not a Bible doctrine. Okay, so you got to be careful about that. The covenant reformed theology. And I think we had some reformed theology people here last night. They, after the service last night, I got asked about 3 or 4 times, well, now how many people raised their hand? Were they sincere? How am I supposed to know that? All I can do, folks, is what you do. All I can see is what you see. I have no x-ray vision. I can't see. I don't know. I have no idea. I know one thing. I think the gospel was plainly presented last night. I thought Pastor Paisley did a great job. And I know when I came around to it, I think I just reinforced what he said and made it clear again. And even said, you can't pray to me, goodness sake. I can't do anything for you. Number two, you can't just polyparrot a prayer. I tried to make that very plain. Said it's got to come from a sincere heart. Was the Ethiopian eunuch sincere? Must have been. And what did Philip tell him? He said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, you've got to believe with all your heart. You've got to be sincere. I don't make light of being sincere like some foolish men have done. They make light of being sincere. Evidently, they never read Acts chapter 8 because it was important to Philip. He told the man, you better be sincere. That's what he told him. You better mean it with all your heart. That's what he said. So I don't know if people are sincere or not. I have no idea. That's between them and God. That's not my responsibility even. I know this much. I know when you got a situation like that, I'm not going to give a come forward invitation. Obviously, that wouldn't go very far at a funeral setting, but I'm not going to let the opportunity pass without at least giving some kind of invitation to trust Christ as our Savior. And I, by the way, and a couple of them were family members. I don't know, and there were some coworkers. I have no idea. I do know this. I know that Jesus told a group of adults in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 15 that if they wanted to be saved, they had to have the faith of a child. That's what he said. Now listen to me. Jesus would never have told them that they must have childlike faith if it were impossible for a child to have faith. Makes sense, right? You've got to have something that you can't have. That doesn't make any sense. If it's possible, Jesus said, you're going to have to come to the place of childlike faith in order to be saved. So it must be possible for a child to have faith enough to be saved. Or Jesus wouldn't have told them that. Now, what we want is we want everybody to have the understanding. We want children. We want everybody else to have the understanding of people who've been saved for years in order to be saved. We're not saved by understanding the great doctrines of the Bible. We're not saved by understanding all that takes place when you get saved. When I got saved, when you got saved, repentance, faith, justification, sanctification, glorification, atonement, redemption, reconciliation, and adoption all took place when we got saved. In full or part. You know, we're already in God's mind and the way God sees it, we're already seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. I don't understand that. Isn't that good that you got a God so big you can't figure out? There we go back to that box again. Amen. Because he doesn't fit into your box, you just have a hard time with that. Get your box real big and then give up. He can't fit in. Okay. Yeah, we're already seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places right now. All right? Now, I didn't understand all of those matters, but I'm going to tell you what I knew. I knew that I had sinned, but I knew more than that. I knew that I was guilty of sin. I was guilty of sin. I tried to make this very clear in both messages yesterday. Really, I'd never put it into a funeral message before. There's a difference in somebody saying, oh yeah, I'm a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. And knowing that you're guilty. Big difference. I'm never satisfied if I'm witnessing to somebody and, do you know you're a sinner? Well, everybody's a sinner. They're not getting it, folks. They're not getting it. Well, yeah, everybody's done wrong. No, you're not getting it, sir. You're guilty before God. Okay? You're guilty of the practice of sin. And you're deserving of the punishment of sin. Okay? Now, the Spirit of God shows people that. Because the Bible says He reproves of sin. When the Spirit of God can, He will reprove of sin. Convict. Convince. He'll bring you to the place where it's more than just, oh yeah, I know everybody sins and I'm part of that. It's, I am guilty before God and I am a practicing sinner and I am deserving of the punishment. I knew that. I knew that Jesus took my place on Calvary. And I knew that I needed to receive Him personally into my heart in order to go to heaven someday. So I knew that. I knew that much. And I exercised that step of faith, and I got saved. Now, I believed, I received, and I became a child of God by the spiritual birth. Now, that can happen at 8 or 18 or 28 or 88. That can happen at any of those ages. Sometimes adults who got saved as children will question or doubt their salvation experience, and here's why. You have a hard time remembering all the details. I have a hard time remembering all the details of last week. Did we have church last Wednesday night? What did I teach on? I'm not making that. But can I encourage you in something tonight or give you rest? And I'm not trying to make anybody saved or lost. I'm just trying to teach the Bible and let it say what it says. I would not stand or fall on this matter of salvation on a faulty memory. I would not do that. I would not stand or fall on the possibility of a faulty memory. I would look to the Word of God. I would let the Bible speak to my heart and ask God either give me assurance or not. And let the Bible settle it. Amen? Let the Bible settle it for you once and for all. And the Bible gives several evidences of salvation that will be true about you if you're saved. There are evidences that will be true about you if you are saved. Okay? You may recall talking to mom and dad, kneeling by a bed or a couch, but did I feel? There you go. How do you know? Okay? Somebody may have an excellent memory. You know, Brother Woodward told me the day we were talking about it. He told me, he said, Brother Terry got saved at 5. He said, I can remember the preacher, the message, the whole ordeal. That's wonderful. If you can, I say amen to that. Okay? But if you, just because your memory may not be as articulate as some others, let the Bible settle it. Okay? We'll talk about the first one tonight, Romans chapter 8. And I will not give that introduction again. I might just quickly buzz through it. But I wanted to take the time for that tonight because here's a boy, or excuse me, a young man who got saved as a child, and Paul was persuaded that he had unfeigned faith. He had real faith, okay? He wasn't acting a part. Now, the Bible, here you go. The first evidence of salvation that'll be true about you is verse number 16 of Romans 8. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Write this one down if you're taking notes. Here's the first evidence of salvation. The witness of the Holy Spirit. The witness of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, when a person gets saved, immediately the Spirit of God moves into the body and takes up residence in them. We know that from 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, listen, which is in you. In you. That's what makes us different as New Testament Christians from the Old Testament saints. The Spirit of God did not dwell in their bodies. We have a unique relationship with Him that David and Samson and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Abraham and those great folks, they didn't have. They didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We do. He moves in our body. And let me say, the Spirit of God is a person, not merely an impersonal force or some influence. He is a person, specifically the third person of the Godhead. Father, Son, Spirit, all three in one, that triune God. The third person of that Godhead moved in our body when we trusted Jesus Christ. There is a witness inside, internally, that testifies to me that I have been adopted into God's family. This witness is not a something, it's a someone. It's not a feeling. It's a voice. Not audible. An impression. An influence on the heart. It's a person in there. He speaks. Someone lives in me and testifies to my spirit that I am a child of God. Now, a few months ago, Ben and Ashley moved into our basement. We know, believe me, we know when they are home. That's the messiest kid I've ever seen in my life. I don't know why her mother didn't train her. I'm just teasing, amen. No, it's not her. Oh, my God. And it takes up, It's like it's his place. Everywhere. The kitchen is his. The living room is his. Can I get a witness, Luke? Amen. Everything is his. You know, it don't matter where. It's all his. Every table is his. Every shelf is his. It's all his. I don't know why you can't have your stuff in one place. Well, you got to have it everywhere. You know, just everywhere. You ought to see him trying to get ready to go. It's unbelievable. But we know they're there. And believe me, even if somebody moves in your home, they're not as loud or as messy maybe as Ben. When they move in your home, loud or quiet, you know they're there. There's evidence. You with me? So the Spirit of God moved in you when you got saved. He lives inside of you. And the Bible says that He witnesses, listen, to your spirit that you are a child of God. Now, wait a minute, folks. Think about this. Before I got saved, I never had a witness of any sort that I belonged to God. I didn't have a witness. You know, somebody might ask me, are you saved? Oh, yeah. Well, you know. Just because I knew what to say. But honestly, I could never tell you about a time when there was a witness with my spirit that I was a child of God. Now, do you know why that couldn't happen? Ephesians 2:1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You have a dead spirit before you get saved. There's no way to communicate with God. That's impossible. Spiritually, you're dead. You're born into this world, a dichotomy, body and soul, dead spirit. When God created Adam, He created him in the image of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And He created Adam, body, soul, and spirit. Adam communicated with God, had a relationship with God from the beginning. Boom. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Adam became a living soul, and he had communication with God every day. As soon as sin came, boom, spirit died, no communication. Broken off, no relationship. How can the Holy Spirit bear witness with my spirit if my spirit is dead? That's why you don't ever have a witness on the inside that you're born again, because the Spirit of God has no spirit to witness with. Are you understanding what I'm saying tonight? So my spirit could not testify to me of anything because it was dead. But when I got saved, the Spirit of God brought life to my dead spirit. Truth of the matter is, listen very carefully, we call this thing soul winning. Do you know it's more spirit winning than it is soul winning? The soul is the mind, the heart, and the will. Can I tell you, friend, that your mind, your heart, and your will are still easily influenced by either the old nature or the new nature. They go both ways. Your spirit doesn't sin. Your spirit can't sin. It's born of God. 1 John. I can't quote. I always think I can quote it, and I always forget. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You read that, and you go, I'm not saved. What's born of God about you? This is born of man. You understand that? This is born of man. The part of me that's born of God is my spirit. The spirit came alive. He gave life to my dead spirits where the new nature is. The spirit of Christ lives inside of me in that. Now, He brought life to my dead spirit. I was born spiritually into God's family. Then I had a spirit that was live and could communicate with God. And together, the Holy Spirit and my spirit, they testified jointly to me that I belong to God. The word witness means to corroborate. That's a big word. It just basically means to confirm or make more certain. Confirm or make more certain. So here's a trial underway, and here's a jury, and here's the judge and the prosecutors and the defense, and here's a witness. And they bring a witness in, and the witness number one gives a testimony. This is what happened. Witness number two comes, and he corroborates. He's called forth, and he corroborates the testimony of number one. He confirms, He makes even more certain the witness of number one. He gives the exact details and all the same events and so forth and so on, just like number one did. They testified jointly to the truth of a matter. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. That's exactly what happened when you got saved. Exactly what happened when I got saved. Someone moved into my house October 1975. There are times when I know He is there. He says to me, "You are a child of God." And my spirit says, "That's right. You are a child of God." And there's a joint witness internally. I'm not talking about hearing voices. I'm talking about an assurance, a witness inside. I know it. It happens different times, different places. I don't fit there. I don't belong there. I don't want that. I don't like that. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to see that. Why? You're a child of God. That's right. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. That's right. You're a child of God. That's a witness. You know, according to Old Testament law, every matter for or against a person had to be established by the mouth of two witnesses. If there were only one witness, nothing could be established as truth or fact. Well, I saw so-and-so. Okay, who else saw it? I was the only one. Nope. That testimony is no good. Got to have two witnesses. What happened? Well, here's what I saw and heard and this is going on. Somebody else see it? Yes, sir. I saw the same thing. Same place, same time, same people. Okay, we got two witnesses. Now, you know what? We got an established fact because in the mouth of two witnesses, every matter has to be established. You got that witness going on the inside. If there are two, it's true. Amen. The Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's... You know it. You know it. And that goes along with 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you who believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know. K-N-O-W. You know it. Just like you know you love the woman you married and the man you married. You know it. There's that witness. Okay. Now, don't miss this. Very important fact to remember. The Holy Spirit will never give a witness that does not agree with the Word of God. That's vitally important. So what do you mean? Let me explain. You meet somebody out there, talk to somebody at work, talk to a neighbor. Are you saved? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. How do you know? Oh, man, I'm saved. I got baptized. The water washed all my sins away. And the Spirit of God just gives me peace in my heart about my salvation. Got a problem. The Spirit of God's never going to give witness that goes against the written Word of God. You with me? Too much Bible that tells me the water doesn't wash your sin away. It's the blood of Christ that washes your sin away. The water just shows what happened on the inside. That's all. So the Spirit of God cannot bear testimony with that. That person's confused and lost. Are you saved? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you say good. How you know you're saved? Oh, man, I saw a falling star on the night my daughter was born, and God came into my heart, and the Spirit of God just tells me I'm saved. And you think that's out there, but I want to tell you, I've heard some strange stuff over the years. Huh? Strange stuff. I just saw, man. Now, I embarrass anybody. When I went to visit Rex and Jackie, Rex, I don't know if you remember this or not, but the kids had gotten saved at junior church. They were going to get baptized. I said, "Are y'all saved?" And Jackie gave a good testimony. And Rex said to me, "I had some kind of a spiritual experience last year, something, some kind of religious experience." I know too much of this book right here. Religious experiences don't save people. Jesus saves people. Okay? And I proceeded to ask, has anybody ever shown you if you've been born again? No. That he could remember. Rex got on his knees there in the floor of his trailer and trusted Christ as his Savior. It's good. It was a blessing. Okay? So the Spirit of God is not going to bear witness. Listen to me. Well, Pastor, I got saved, but I didn't repent. I didn't repent. The Spirit of God, I'm saved because the Spirit of God tells me I'm saved, but I didn't repent. No, the Spirit of God doesn't tell you that. Because the Bible says you can't get saved without repentance and faith. So the Spirit of God is not going to witness that something is true that's in contradiction to the Word of God. We say, no, okay, now this is where you get me, because I don't remember what I felt, what I knew. I don't remember if I repented. Stop. Does the Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit? Do you have that inner testimony? Yes. Tell me about your experience. We came home from church. I talked to my dad. I knew I needed to be saved. My dad and I knelt by the couch. I asked Jesus to come into my heart with all the sincerity a 5-year-old person could have. You know what? Not a bit of that contradicts that book right there. Not a bit of that contradicts that book. And that's why you've got the witness. That's why there's that inner witness, that inner testimony. You're a child of God. Yeah, I am. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. That's right. You're a child of God. What do you base that on? Well, I saw that star. What do you base that on? When I was 7 years old, I knelt by the chair with my grandfather, with my grandma. When I was 6 years old at Vacation Bible School, I went forward and, Brother Angel, I gave my heart to the Lord. I don't know what I felt. Now, I went forward, folks, and I prayed a prayer at 5. But I had no witness for 13 years. Nothing. Man, after October 1975, you're a child of God. That's right, you're a child of God. That's right, you're a child of God. What do you base that on, man? I went to an altar and got on my knees and gave my heart to Christ. I knew I was a sinner. Not a bit of that contradicts this book right here. You understand what I'm saying tonight? You see, this whole verse right here, verse 16, follows the verses 14 and 15, which talk about adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have a relationship. He is our heavenly daddy. There's a relationship there. I have a heavenly father. Man. And I know it. Because the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit. You belong to God. You're part of His family. That's a Bible evidence of salvation. You say, Brother Terry, I don't have that. Well, just hang on. Or if you get troubled about it, see somebody. Settle it. But you say, okay, I've got that right there. I know what you're talking about. That's a Bible evidence of salvation. Okay? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Then he went on to talk about the fact that we're not just children, we're heirs. And not just heirs, joint heirs with Christ. That is a blessing. Biblical evidence of salvation, let the Bible speak for itself. Let it determine in your heart. Amen? We'll talk about some more next time. Let's pray together. Dear Father, bless the teaching from your word tonight. Thank you for it. I don't do it justice. I can't. I have such a finite mind, finite capabilities. But I pray that the Spirit of God could take some of the stumbling, bumbling words tonight. And Lord, either help either way, one way or the other. Either help them to have the assurance or help them to be troubled. Father, I wouldn't want anybody in this church building to spend eternity apart from you. So please, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. And I pray that little children, as they grow up in this church, could come to Christ, Lord, in truth and sincerity. Be saved and know it. Spend a lifetime of serving you. God bless us tonight. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let the Bible speak to you. Let the Spirit of God use the Word of God. If you have some strange, off-the-wall experience that you're basing this witness on, this testimony on, yeah, I know I'm saved. My wife told me. My husband told me. What happened? No, I can't find anything in the Bible to testify to the truth of that. Let the Word of God speak to you. Man, don't be ashamed to seek help if you need it. And that's not the purpose. The purpose of these lessons is not to make you fearful, doubtful, go crazy. The purpose of it is to help some people settle it in their minds and hearts. Let's stand together, please. The heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, please. Doubt it.